Tuesday. Today is April the 16th, and you're listening to My Farmer. We want to get an update today on the Port of Baltimore as it has been closed due to the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge and what that's doing to all the imports and exports, freight coming in and out, and the potential impact it could have on agricultural equipment, especially depending on how long it drags on. We'll be back with the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, ag equipment manufacturers say the Port of Baltimore closing will not affect spring planting. Now, the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge at the Port of Baltimore on March 26 should not affect the availability of agricultural equipment manufacturers to keep their customers up and running throughout spring planting season. The domestic inventory of parts and components appears to be in good supply. In the long term, however, if the port remains closed for 2 or 3 months, some supply chains will likely begin to show strain. Now, the Port of Baltimore is a critical hub in our supply chain, said Kip Eidelberg. He's the Senior Vice President of Government and Industry Relations for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, which is an industry trade group representing agricultural and construction machinery manufacturers. He said, "We're still trying to figure out the mid to long term impacts. For now, at least, until the channel reopens fully, shipments are being diverted to other East Coast ports, which is adding congestion and delays, as well as rising cost, and we're starting to see a bit of cascading impact on the overall ocean supply chain." Now, it appears many inbound cargo ships are being diverted to ports at Norfolk, Virginia, and Savannah, Georgia. And depending on U.S. import destinations, other shipments may be diverted to the Port of Charleston in South Carolina and into Galveston Bay at the Port of Houston in Texas. Now, one manufacturer, that being AGCO Corporation, has an assembly center near the Port of Baltimore. He said, "Our hearts go out to the loss of life and economic impact. A lot of people are going to be negatively impacted by this, and that's the primary reaction that AGCO CEO Eric Hestoya told the reporters. But secondarily, in terms of how it impacts AGCO or our farmers so far, what we're seeing is that it's quite moderate. We've been able to reroute shipments to other assembly centers," he said. "We have inventory in the field for products, so few, if any, customers should be impacted." Now, federal and state agencies working to clear the bridge structure from Baltimore Shipping Channel hope to reopen that temporary channel that will accommodate ships able to haul cargo such as agricultural equipment by the end of the month. Engineers hope to open the full channel by the end of May. Now, the biggest impact we're seeing or expecting to see for the next 2 to 3 months is going to be on the outbound side, Eidelberg said. But if other ports become more and more congested and it takes longer than expected to get the Port of Baltimore in place where they can receive imports and parts and components for equipment, then I think we're going to start to see some real impacts. Now, all ports have different capacities. An important feature in Baltimore is its roll-on, roll-off infrastructure. That is the ability to drive equipment or automobiles onto or off the cargo ships. Norfolk and Savannah have roll-on, roll-off facilities that are well served by rail and interstate highways, but those ports, of course, already manage their own ocean-going traffic flows and may not have all the facility ag shippers need and have come to depend on in Baltimore. When one port is out of commission, other modes of transportation such as trucking start to see cascading effects, Eidelberg said. "It's easy to transport apparel by truck, easier than it is to transport a combine or a harvester. We're already seeing major backups on thoroughfares along the East Corridor of I-95, and until the port is open, the infrastructure around that Port of Baltimore or around Baltimore in general is going to be stressed. Baltimore isn't the only stressor on shipping worldwide, though. Drought at the Panama Canal has affected shipping traffic flow, and the Houthi rebels are affecting ship movements in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. All of this is creating a lot of stress on ocean supply chains, which means additional surcharges from carriers as they try to adjust their shipping lanes and cargo vessels. That's where we expect to see the immediate impact. It's in the cost, and it's going to go up." Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at CropCoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Taking a look now at fertilizer news. Average retail fertilizer prices continued to slowly climb during the first week of April, and for the second consecutive week, prices of all eight major fertilizers were up from where they were a month ago. Now, despite the increases across the board, the price of only one fertilizer jumped significantly. That was UAN-28, and it was 5% higher than it was last month, with an average retail price of $362 a ton. The remaining seven fertilizers were slightly more expensive compared to a month ago. DAP had an average price of $780 per ton. MAP was at $828 a ton, while potash was $514 a ton. Urea was $577 a ton. 1034-0 came in at $633 per ton. Anhydrous ammonia was at $794 a ton. And UAN-32 was at $405 a ton. Now, if we break that down on a price per pound nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 63 cents per pound unit nitrogen, anhydrous was 48 cents a pound unit nitrogen, UAN-28 was 65 cents, and UAN-32 was 63 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Now, the USDA's Economic Research Service recently published a report detailing the significance of fertilizer cost in corn production that, according to an article from Fertilizer Daily, fertilizer represents the largest variable expense, according to the report. Now, USDA's Economic Research Service reported the average fertilizer cost from 2006 to 2021 was approximately $125 per acre without adjusting for inflation. This figure saw a sharp increase beginning in 2022, reaching $225.78 per acre before declining to an estimated $186.73 per acre back in 2023. This trend indicates a significant 89% increase in the cost from 2021 to 2022, followed by a 17% decrease from 22 to 23, according to that article. And fertilizer expenses made up about 22% of the total per acre cost of corn production from 2006 to 2016. That percentage dropped to an average of 17% from 2017 to 2021, as the fertilizer prices were historically low. However, the increase in prices in 2022 elevated fertilizer costs to 24% of the total cost, and this number was lower than the peak, which was actually seen at 26% back in 2008. Now, most fertilizer prices are lower compared to where they were a year ago, but one is slightly higher. That is MAP. That's 2% higher than it was a year ago. For the remaining fertilizers, DAP is 5% less expensive than a year ago. Urea, 8% lower. 1034-0 is 15% less expensive. UAN-28 is 14% lower than a year ago. Potash and UAN-32 are down 20% from where they were a year ago, and anhydrous ammonia is 21% lower compared to a year ago. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.